to know. She actually told us her the testimony of her husband's life, and he was a young man, a champion golfer, a champion ballroom dancer, no Christian background, a terrible family, very dysfunctional family, I should say. And he was saved. He came to Jesus and gave his life to Jesus. And the people of that little church that he was in so nurtured him that he became the most wonderful, wonderful, godly man and father of three children. And his children are outstanding young people, oh, not young, my age. And it's just wonderful. And they told me what they did. He actually used to play golf Sunday morning. So they didn't say, don't play golf. They said, can you drive the Sunday school bus? So they actually gave him a job. And I think just having older people taking care of any of our, even my age, I need people taking care of me. So please, let's get involved in each other's lives. Thank you, Aidan. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you. Lord, we thank you that we are in your house. We thank you that we can freely proclaim your name, and we give you all glory today. We thank you that you have changed our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think that's what the book of James is like. I think it's about looking at what he says and how we need to change. I think if James was alive today, he would be the master of text messages and emojis. So you can imagine. Go through the book and do an exercise. Try and summarise it, because I've had to do that. That's my job today. Summarise it, put the emojis in and have some fun. But think about how to remember it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's lots and lots and lots of catchphrases. So you could have some fun with that. But I really think that was his personality. I think sometimes we think we're really good and we think we're so fancy. And yet James is actually saying to us, he's encouraging us, but he's very forthright. I'm sure we all got that message as we listened the last few weeks. So I have 5 minutes. I'll probably just use 5 minutes anyway. Pete said I would do that and I said I would not. So, and I've got five themes, so let's get on to it. The first theme is being reborn. James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So are we going to be reborn through the word of truth? We are reborn spiritually, but are we going to be reborn through his word? So that is going to be happening continually each day. So like half the world, we watched the Queen's funeral the other day and we have a choice. We either hear 1 Corinthians 15, and I had actually studied that just on the weekend before that. So I'm going, oh, I can learn again. What's this guy, whatever his name was, you probably all remember, I don't, Dudley or someone. What's he going to say about 1 Corinthians 15? And so I think that's what James is saying. We need to be continually reborn, changed in our minds and our hearts and our actions into the kingdom of God. So important for us. The word of God also brings wisdom, James 3:17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I think that's what we all want to be like. We want to get to the end of our days thinking, the word of God made me more considerate, more submissive, full of mercy, etc. Okay, so the second theme is shifting shadows. And that's another foundational point for us. James 1, 17b. God does not change like shifting shadows. Or you might know the verse, God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. I think listening to the testimony of the Queen really got me to thinking that she really believed that God does not change. He's not like something that is fluid, and he's a God that is caught up 70 years ago and then he changes. He doesn't. He's the same. He's outside of time, outside of customs, and he's always the same. So that's something for us to hang on to. God is the same. Everything else is changing all the time, but God does not. Okay, third theme, black and white stance. And sometimes this is okay. There are absolutes. James 4:4, for example, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? It's got to be clear cut. And I think sometimes that's something we all have to work through. What is friendship with the world? What does that mean? And they are black and white. So you look through the rest of James, it's very, very evident. And I was thinking of that game, Riverbank. I don't know if you used to play it when you were young, but I thought it was really cool. And the leader would say river, and you'd have to be where the river is, or bank, or captain's coming, or scrub the deck. And if you weren't in the right position, you were out. It was as simple as that, black and white. So let us look at what it says about being black and white. And that's really important, I think, to be able to talk into each other's lives and to help each other. I know a 16-year-old girl who actually approached her friend and said something to her in love, and the girl had given her permission for it. And when she said something, though, the girl got really cranky. So we don't want to be like that. We want to be able to listen to each other when we've got words to say into our lives. So sometimes something is black and white. Let's listen for that. The next theme, and we're number four already, is double-minded. James 1:6-8. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And James 4:8b, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So it's really saying that we need to be single-minded about following God and what he's saying. And I know I had a wobbly this week, and I was actually at that house where we were hearing that testimony, and they had on their fridge about, God, help me with my unbelief. I think it's continual. I don't know if you struggle, but sometimes I really want to believe God's going to answer my prayer, and it's hard. So hang in there, guys, and please remember what we've already said, that God is not like shifting shadows. He's outside of the sun and the mood and the vibes and everything else. He is God, and he does care, and he will answer in his way and in his will. So I know a young girl, Scarlett, and she comes from a non-Christian home. We're saved at Scripture, and I tell you what, you talk to her, she is so single-minded. She's only 18, but she's a joy to be with because she just really believes what God says. It's wonderful. And I'll just put in James 5:16b, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Now we get to our final point, stumbling. And you might think that's a bit bleak. Why am I ending on that? James says in chapter 3:2a, we all stumble in many ways. And I know I do. We were on holidays in June at Moreton Island, and we went on a tinny. It was like a bucket list thing, and we were all in the tinny, and it was all cool, and, you know, you're sort of chugging along. And then I got terribly seasick. You're allowed to laugh because it's ridiculous, but I got really seasick, and we were going out to the shipwrecks to go snorkelling. And I was so sick, I sort of couldn't stay on the boat, but I was too sick to snorkel, but I ended up falling out and trying to snorkel, and the waves were going up and down too, so I just got worse. And I somehow got back on the boat, and I had to get Pete to just go up and down parallel to the shore because I couldn't stand being still. And I staggered up the beach, and when you're stumbling, you're good for nothing. You just have to sit under a tree till you get better. And it really just made me think about this verse. What am I going to do about that? That's something Tony wanted us to say. How are we going to apply all these verses? So I'm going to apply some remedies when I stumble spiritually. I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm going to get help. Do we want to stumble less? Is that a desire? And Chris said a few weeks ago, God cheers us on towards faithfulness by his Holy Spirit and gives grace generously for now. And I'm going to do all the good stuff or try that James says to do. Because James says, do not merely listen to the word of truth, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And I just want to encourage us all just to keep going and just remember that stumbling, to know that God is with you, he doesn't change and he will help you. And there is so much wisdom in this book to help us. Thanks, Nathan.
Hey, everyone. I'm pretty sure most people here know me, but I'm Nathan for those who don't. And I'm just going to share a quick little three to five minute message, which I feel like something is that God has been teaching me through the book of James for a little while now. And who here has ever actually read the book of James and left feeling like an absolute failure, feeling like you're not even a Christian? Like, it is one of the hardest hitting books in the Bible. And I know I have. And the thing that it actually ties in really well to what Eartha just finished on, because I'm just going to talk into that little passage of scripture from 1 James 22 to 25, just of being doers of the word and the idea of the word of God as a mirror and the idea of the person of Jesus as a mirror. So let's just read that. James 1, 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. For me, this has been such a formative scripture. Yeah. James uses the example that looking into the word is like looking into a mirror. And that not being able to walk it out is like a person who looks into a mirror and forgets what they see. They walk away, they look into the mirror of the word, they look into this and walk away not realising that's for them, or walk away not realising that that's who God's actually made them to be, or walk away just forgetting. And I'm just going to share, because I feel at the heart of it, that's what the book of James is. The book of James is the idea that faith works. That when you have faith, it produces something in you and that actually works. So I'm just going to share two things that I've found that help in this. So I know, sorry, not two things that help in this, two things that I've found actually hinder us in this. The first one is when we read the word, when I read the word, I'll start thinking like a Pharisee. I'll read it and I'll be sitting there thinking of how this scripture impacts everyone else. I'll be sitting there reading the book of James and going, true religion is looking after the widows and the orphans. And I'll be thinking, oh, the church should be doing more of that. This person should be doing more of that. So-and-so should be doing more of that. And never actually take it for myself. And so what can I actually do for people in need? What can I actually do to impact those around me? Do I even know the people? Like, am I actually looking for people in need in our community? Am I actually positioning myself to do that? So that's one key thing for me that I've found really stops us, is just that attitude of the Pharisee where you're constantly looking and looking at how it applies to someone else. And not me. And the other one, this is super simple. When I don't read the word, how can I know, how can I be looking at that mirror and seeing what's for me if I don't read it? And it was actually something Jen said that I realised I hadn't actually put in here, because I've just got down as the word, but I just remembered when she said that still small voice. It's not just the word, but it's the actual voice of Jesus as well. It's actually that still small voice for us that actually helps transform us. And it's getting before the face of Jesus and actually seeing him, actually encountering the person of God. Like, if I only looked at my face in the mirror once a year, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't remember what I looked like. My entire life would be based on what other people tell me I looked like. And that's the key. Like, that's one of the keys, is we actually need to spend enough time in the Word that we can see what it is that he says about us, so that we see ourselves through his eyes and how he sees us, not through the world's eyes. Because if we see ourselves the way the world sees us, we'll just act the way the world sees us. We'll be hypocrites. We'll be Pharisees. And the story that I feel summarizes what this looks like to actually walk this out is the woman with the alabaster flask, where she's just pouring out her all at the feet of Jesus, just worshipping him. She didn't worry about what other people thought of her feet. She knew what Jesus thought of her. And she just worshipped at his feet. And for me, I found the way to walk this out is to stay in the Word, to stay before him, to help me see myself through his eyes, and to keep an eye out to make sure I don't have any Pharisee in me. Make sure that that doesn't enter in any way, shape or form. I'm just going to pray. Jesus, I just pray that you'll speak even through me, that people hear what they need to hear today, and that people will hear that still small voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nathan. My name is Michelle, for anyone who doesn't know me, and I didn't get the memo about the slides, so I don't have any. So I was really grateful to be asked to do this in a way, because it made me go back and look at the book of James much more earnestly, so that I had something to say. And when I did also get the impression that James was very much a black and white thinker. There is to be no doubting. There is a very clear line between your faith and your actions. Duh, basically, is what I felt James was saying. And I think maybe the link between true religion and actions being such a no-brainer for James is because he observed this in the life of Jesus, his brother, over years. Imagine witnessing pure actions motivated by pure faith over a long period of time. It would be really, really impacting. It is hard to go past the opening instruction in James 1:2, which is the least intuitive of all the instructions he gives us. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The considering it pure joy, I think, is something we decide. If someone says something uncomplimentary to me, for example, I can consider it and take it in another way. As you may have noticed, I've latched onto the word pure as it comes up quite a few times in James. In James 1:27, it says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The definition of pure is to be unpolluted or not adulterated with anything else. The picture I get is that if I am pure, I can exhibit pure religion. I am not pure. I often have several agendas going at once, some of them probably at an unconscious level. As a hypothetical example, I might give to a good cause like OCC, and maybe I feel inwardly satisfied that I have done this and edging on pride, and maybe I'd even like it if someone accidentally found out that I was giving to that good cause. Obviously, this is double-minded and not pure. I think that living out of pure motives is one definition of freedom. Another verse we find the word pure in is in 3:17. "But the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, then flowing from that, peace, loving, considerate, lots of other beautiful things, sincere, full of mercy. This is the wisdom that God will freely give, and it will shake out all of the polluted attitudes that we have and lead us to more pure motives and actions." Later in James, when he's more focusing on our relationship to God, he instructs us, among other things, to purify ourselves through submitting to God and through humility. And I think this is an ongoing work that we do hand in hand with God as he shakes out all our impurities. So in summary, when my first response to trials is things like anger, frustration, disappointment or anxiety, I will try to consider the trials as pure joy, which is not saying I'm happy about the situation, but I will appreciate that I am being made mature for a very good purpose and remember that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross for me.
And we thank our wonderful sharers this morning. Not an easy thing to get up and share sometimes so vulnerably and intimately about how the word has affected you, but I think it's so encouraging for us, and I heard a lot of people nodding and agreeing and whatnot, and I just want to say before we finish off the service with this last song that I think it was Nathan made the comment, "Do you sometimes read James and feel like maybe you're a bit of a failure as a Christian?" And I just want to say, oh my goodness, yes. I even this week, I had a bit of a situation that happened, which I'm not proud of, but ended myself up with a black eye, in fact, and my family's laughing because they were there and it happened. But I think in reflection, when we do dumb stuff sometimes, we can really beat ourselves up really badly because we've got such a high standard to live to. But we have to remember that in spite of what James has said, and it's absolutely critical that we grow in our relationship with Jesus to become more like him, that he is still so kind and merciful and forgiving when our heart... Just sit for a minute before we sing this next song, just to maybe spend a minute reflecting for yourself on where you might want to boldly reach out to God in either asking for forgiveness or whether you might want to boldly reach out to him and just ask him to really dynamically stir you up in your relationship with him. Can we do that just for a minute before we sing our last song?